This is the podcast for people that believe they do not need to change the world. We believe it's all about becoming the most effective version of yourself in the moments in life that matter the most. This is
the Inner Changemaker Podcast. Instead of changing the world, change their world. Changemakers! What is going on, everyone? It is your man, the host of the show, Jay Wong, and I'm super excited that you are back for another episode of The Inner Changemaker. This is the podcast helping all leaders from all walks of life, helping you create and choose the legacy that you are going after. And today's episode is no different. But before we even dive into that, just wanted to just come on here and share a little bit with you because, look, the last week has been crazy. I know so many of you, the last few weeks have just been nuts, but the reason last week has been so crazy for my team and I is because we just got back into creating content, as some of you might or might not know or have been following, and it's a little bit like going to the gym, right? Isn't that the truth of everything? You could be at a certain high level before, right? But if you stop working out, you stop eating right, you stop doing the things that kind of got you there, it's been hard, ultimately, getting back into creating content. We're posting 2 to 3 videos on YouTube. We're posting 2 different episodes on the podcast every single week. And I'm going to be featuring some of our clients and the content that they are creating, kind of going off of the previous episode, not the Jack Canfield one, which, by the way, that episode took off like crazy. So much comments, so many feedbacks from that episode. If you haven't checked out that episode, 259, Jack Canfield, 258, that was one with one of our clients. And we decided to do this a couple weeks ago. We asked all of our clients to essentially submit content that they wanted to share with their communities. And I said, look, your community, people around you that follow you, they need your thoughts. They need your perspective. And the world seems like everything is on fire and going crazy, and you know, I mean, you guys know, you guys are in it, right? So it just feels like we need some context now. And I was just blown away by so many of our clients that had submitted content, and it created this kind of this new genre of a show, a mini show within the podcast, essentially, showcasing how these people are not just talking the talk, but they're also walking the walk. So who the heck are you going to be listening to today? Well, these two individuals, they're co-hosts on a show called The Model Minorities Show, and they haven't launched their podcast yet. We're going to be actually launching their show probably in the next, from the time you guys are hearing this, probably in the next like 30 to 45 days, somewhere in that like window. But the first co-host, Raman, who's a recovering marketer, Indian American gentleman who grew up in Alabama, super great storyteller, and you're going to love the way that he kind of breaks things down. His co-host, Sharon, she's Chinese American, also another recovering marketer. She happens to live in Queens, by the way, and as some of you might or might not know, it's pretty much the epicenter of this whole COVID-19 situation happening in New York. So I think Raman actually lives on the outskirts of New York as well. So look, they both work with us, our company, Podcast Your Brand. So their show, Model Minorities, they interview minorities. So people with, whether it's an ethnic background, you could be Asian, gay, trans, black, Indian, white, right? But people that are great examples of not just that kind of culture or ethnic background, but they themselves are a role model. And there's so many of their guesses, like stories and interviews, essentially, it breaks the mold and expectations of what society expected from them, what their parents wanted them to do. And they really share how their culture and their background kind of impacts how they view their business and live their lives in the modern age. And the reason I know all this is because, not just because we're producing their show, is because they interviewed me a couple weeks ago. And some of the things I shared on that interview, I've never actually shared on any podcast. And so I would say it's definitely not a normal podcast. It's not your grandma's podcast by any means. I shared stories of like how my dad, left his country when there was the whole Vietnam War going on and ended up in a refugee camp. They asked me about my love life, my stance on mixed couples, right? So you kind of have to hear one of the interviews to kind of understand it, but trust me, it's cool, and I can't wait to share it with you guys once their podcast is live. But in this episode, I selected this clip because I wanted to keep the positive energy high. I wanted to keep the momentum going. In this story, you're going to hear how does it actually feel getting COVID-19. You're going to actually hear like kind of like a first person point of view in terms of how it feels, the stages of it, and you're going to see how that differs from just getting the normal flu. And we're also going to talk about who the real frontline individuals are in this battle. And so I would love for you to be able to tune in and enjoy this. I'm going to try to get out of your way. There's actually a whole lot more to the episode, but if you want, so if you want to hear the entire episode, all you got to do is go to www.theinnerchangemaker.com/MM. So MM stems for model minorities, right? www.theinnerchangemaker.com/MM. And you can listen to the whole episode right over there. You can download it, right? And you can, you don't have to opt into anything. So with all that said, I appreciate you guys. I can't wait to serve you in the next episode. And without any more delays, here is the episode of Raman and Sharon talking about everything, the crazy world that we are living in today.
So one of my clients is a hospital here in New York City. And ironically, or it's a division of a hospital in New York City. And I had a call yesterday with one of their, with someone who works in sales for them, because they're one of my main contacts over there from the client side. And he got diagnosed positive with COVID.
How old is he, roughly?
He's in his 30s.
Okay.
He's young. He's young. He's healthy. He's active. All of those things. And my first response was, why are you not in bed right now? Like, why are we even having a conversation? And why are you not focused on recovering? And you know what he told me? He was like, because it's not that bad. And I was like, what? What are you talking about?
He's in healthcare.
Well, yeah. So yes, I think part of it is he has the benefit of being on the inside, but at the corporate level, right? So he's not on the front lines. He's not by the bedsides of people.
But if he has it, because he's at home working from home though. He's self-isolating.
He's working. Yeah, he's working from home. He also, because he's a sales guy, he's more of in a corporate role. So yeah. So he's not wearing scrubs every day. And he told me that it felt, so I had all these questions all of a sudden. First of all, I like reprimanded him for even working, but he was like, I'm totally fine, Sharon. Like,
he's like, don't take my money, Sharon. Yeah. Take my money.
And he was just kind of like, he was like, I had a really like rough weekend, but I've come out of it now. It should be, all the symptoms should be gone in 2 days. And I was like, okay, I really have to just ask you all these questions. Like, that's not what our call was about. But I was like, I literally was like, okay, so what was it like? How did you know you had it? And he walked me through the whole experience. And according to him, and I know this is like, this is not going to be everybody's story. So I'm not saying that, you know, we're all going to be this lucky or that this isn't a severe, it's not a critical problem, because people are definitely dying. But his experience was that he, I think it was on a Wednesday, let's call it midweek, he started sneezing and he thought it was allergies because he suffers from allergies. So he took a couple of either Benadryl or Claritin or something for allergies and noticed that that hadn't gone away. So he thought that was a little weird. And then a day later, he started noticing that his throat hurt, which he also found to be kind of interesting, you know, like, so then he was like, okay, maybe I'm just sick. Maybe I'm just coming down with something. At that point he had a slight fever, but it wasn't anything out of the norm. Like, you know, maybe like 100, 101, but nothing that would like require him to check into the hospital. But because he had so many symptoms of sneezing, coughing, shortness of breath, and now a little bit of a fever, he called somebody over at the hospital. And I don't think they tested him, because he told me that in New York City now they're actually not testing unless you're actually in like the ER. But he relayed his symptoms to like the head of medicine over at the hospital where he works. And the doctor had said, yeah, you definitely, based on everything you're telling me, you definitely have it. So rest up, drink a lot of liquids, you know, fight this or whatever. Saturday and Sunday over the weekend, he told me he was in bed. It was kind of like just having the flu. He had, what did take him off guard was the aches and pains that he felt. So he did say that that was new. He had never experienced anything like that, where his lower back, his hips, like he felt enough pain that it kind of disrupted his sleep. And then he said like the fever broke on Monday. So like 3 days later, fever was gone. He started to feel a little bit better. He was good enough to kind of keep working from home. And apparently, as of yesterday, he said he was only expected to have symptoms for 2 more days.
What about his, and I know you're not a doctor and this guy's not a doctor.
Right.
He works in healthcare. How long is he going to be contagious for?
So it's, I think, after there's like, I think it's, and don't quote me on this, cause I can't remember the exact, time frame, but I believe it was 10 days from the onset of symptoms. Mm. So now what he's doing, so it's been, I think when I talked to him, he was like a couple of days away from the 10-day mark. But as soon as he hit that 10 days, his plan was to go back to the hospital. The place where he works is collecting plasma from everyone that has
survived it.
And they're going to use that to come up with a vaccine or a cure. And so he's going to donate his plasma for the cause. And so I'm telling you this because there are cases of people recovering.
Yeah. And there will be. It's not about surviving. Like if you look at the percentages, we're going to survive. But if you're over 65 or you have asthma, my friend's wife has asthma in Cincinnati and they're like not leaving the house. But if you are in an at-risk population, which isn't just being old, but it's having anything like asthma, diabetes, blah, 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 which a lot of us in this country do.
Right.
It's Russian fucking roulette. 1 in 6. Right.
Sure.
And so it's, I'll be fine. But it's like, you're a carrier, even if you don't know it. And that's literally why if everyone would just chill the fuck out. And I mean, this is one thing I really want to talk about. Just like stay home. It's a gift, actually. Again, never mind economic mortality, death and dismemberment. That's literally the tsunami coming for us. Mm-hmm. But it's a gift. Like, look, my wife, myself and my daughter, we are driving each other up the wall. Even my daughter is starting to get, she's 4. We're getting frustrated, right? But it's silly. Like I literally get to spend so much more time with my 2 favorite people. And it's kind of like this forcing is, look, it's a culling of the herd. People going to die. But it's like everyone hit pause, literally just take a deep breath, go home, watch Netflix. I've been doing at least every couple of days, one small project for the new house we're in, you know, and I do have work to do, even though I'm unemployed. I'm launching like 3 podcasts right now, and I'm still work on like nonprofit boards and stuff like that. And I'm trying to like figure out what I want to do with my life outside of advertising and marketing. But it's a gift. Like the other day, it was so freaking Hallmark. Like we were just laying in the backyard. It's a longer story. My wife still has to go to work because she works at an essential company. Or an essential sector of the economy in this crisis. So it's just my daughter and I, and we went in the backyard and she was picking flowers for my wife, like literally weeds. She's pulling weeds that look like flowers. And then she started asking about clouds. I was like, hey, let's lay down and stare at the clouds. And I'm so fearful of like laying down at the beach or in the park and like looking up at the clouds. But I have like a fence in a backyard. I was like, 15 minutes. We're going to lay on our backs and stare at the clouds. And it was, I will have that memory for the rest of my life. That'll probably be the memory on my deathbed. And it's like, let's enjoy that. Like we literally, this is almost a gift in a weird, fucked up sort of way.
Yeah. But you know what the truth is though? And here I am getting like, you know, a little morbid and pessimistic, but not everyone has that luxury.
Oh yeah. But that's the thing. If you are in that 1 to 10% who does, even if you're working from home and you feel like you're working like crazy,
right?
You can, hey, I'm going to give you a little secret as a work from homer who's been off and on work from home for different startups for the past few years. Even when I was like at major corporations, I was based in New York for a Cincinnati company. You can get away with more.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. And like, now's the whole market's slow. You can literally be delayed on writing that email to that super important person. Yeah. And
for
like
a couple of hours.
Oh, hey, the current craziness. Sorry, I'm delayed in my email. Like,
right, totally. But what about the cleaning ladies? And what about the, you know, hourly wage workers? And what about people that just cannot afford to stay at home? And this is where I think it's been interesting.
100%.
It's just an interesting disparity. You know, I think this is really, even though in many ways I feel like this disease has level set everybody because nobody's immune. You know, like I think Prince Charles, one of the latest celebrities to get it. I'm like, oh look, even the royals are getting it. It's really unfortunate when I think about the lower income population. Because it's like when they close the schools, the kids that don't have adequate food,
school lunch, at home, right,
are being robbed of their ability to actually get fed on a daily basis. And And to be fair, I mean, here in New York anyway, they close down the schools. They are still giving out meals, 2 meals a day to whoever needs it, or just anyone that's there. So you don't have to prove that you need it. But if you come to the school, I think within between certain hours of every day, you get breakfast and you get lunch. But it really makes me uneasy that this is happening. And I'm on the other side of it. I mean, I always have worked from home. I run a remote company. So I actually never really had to go anywhere, even though I had a space to work out of. You know, I have childcare that comes to me still on a daily basis because they need the money. And so I have a nanny and we have, you know, we have a person that comes and then she still continues to come to clean our apartment. And so those luxuries are still available.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting is one, I'm just going to pick on you, right? Like,
go ahead,
seriously, stop having her come in. Like, so we have a daycare and we can go back in 2 weeks now. And we're just choosing not to because we can. And again, she's a small business owner, the runner of the daycare. And I was like, look, I emailed her. I was like, look, next few weeks, we'll keep paying you. Like, it's fine. But we're not sending our daughter. But I guess the other, and maybe you should do that with your cleaning lady. But you know, just like go buy gift cards from the restaurants you can't go to. But the other at-risk populations, from an economic perspective. So go Google, and all of our listeners, or non-listeners or people who are like, I'm never going to listen to that podcast after this. Literally go look at what's deemed an essential. In every state by state, they're doing it. Federally, I wish they would make the call, but whatever. People who work at gas stations, people who work at grocery stores, these are people. Just like remember when 9/11 happened? Prior to 9/11, we didn't give a shit about cops and firemen. And all of a sudden, they were like the soldiers in this war. And to be clear, healthcare workers, nurses, doctors, even the administration, they are on the front lines. But you know who else is on the front lines right now? The guy at your grocery store, the guy at your gas station, the guy at Home Depot. The mailman, the Amazon delivery man, the FedEx driver. They still have to go out because if they don't go out, you don't get your medicine. You don't get your food.
Yeah.
And they're just as important and they're not paid as well. They don't have the benefits that doctors have. And my wife went to the grocery store on her way home from work today. And she was like, the first thing she said when she got in the door is like, there are a lot of disgruntled workers. And I thought she was talking about her work and she's white collar corporate R&D. And I have my concerns about her being in the office right now. That's another story. But like, she was talking about all the people at the grocery store.
Yeah.
They don't make what my wife makes. You know, they don't have the ability to make hand sanitizer in a lab like my wife does. Mm-hmm. And I think about those people a lot. Their jobs are way more important than my silly marketing podcast job is.
Right. Yeah.
Sharon, bring us back. I need happiness.
I don't know. You know what? We're so far from it. Like, I don't even know. I do think, okay, here's some happiness. This is my prediction. And this is very yogic stuff. But I think that when we come out of this, we will be a much more grounded, empathetic, and connected community. And my hope is that that carries across regions and countries as well. Because it's really
in classes.
In classes. I think that this is really, it's been a very long time since I felt so connected to people from around the world. And I think that we've lost that. I think September 11th brought everybody together under tragic circumstances. And I think that this is also serving to do the same thing. So I think if there's anything good to come out of it, I'm hoping that as a global community, we can come to some alignment with the fact that we're all human and we're fragile. And all like the most we can do is take care of each other and to look out for each other.
And watch Netflix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And drink a lot of wine. I've actually drank more wine in the last month than I have in a long time.
I typically have like one glass of bourbon or whiskey, you know, every few days, just at night when I need to work on something or work mentally, like think through something, not like I need a glass when I come home. It's literally been every night. I just need one glass.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible. What do you think? Speed round, Sharon?
Speed round.
Have you been thinking of leveraging podcasts and Alexa shows to help grow your business? Not sure maybe where to start and scared of wasting time on the wrong things? Let me be your guide as I show you the right sequences and steps to be able to launch a top-rated show on iTunes as well as actually leverage your podcast and leverage your Alexa show to build out your business. Don't you think it's time that you put your voice behind your products and services? If you were drawn to this show, then I know that it's time that you got working on your message and sharing that with the world. Get my podcast creation roadmap for free at www.theinnerchangemaker.com/roadmap. Once again, it's www.theinnerchangemaker.com/roadmap.